There are just those days when your body says, rest. Stay home, don't work, you're too sick to go in. Not only won't you do a very good job, you could infect all your coworkers. But in addition to your body's voice, there's the other voice telling you you will not get paid if you do not work. It's more common than you think, people not getting paid sick leave from work. We've talked about the efforts to provide that in the city of Eugene. The Oregon State Legislature is working on it, too, with Senate Bill 454. That is one of the pet projects of Andrea Peluso, who is Executive Director at Family Forward Oregon and co-chair of the Fair Shot for All Coalition. Andrea, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
So what is the Fair Shot for All Coalition all about?
Well, it's a coalition of some community organizations and labor organizations who came together last year and decided to set an agenda going into this legislative session to advance some priorities that we think really matter to working families. We're really wanting to establish stronger economic security for more families and feel like more folks than ever feel like they're falling behind or having trouble getting ahead. And we think there are some really concrete things we can do about it. So we set off to do it this session.
Okay, who are some of the players in the coalition?
We have, our group, Family Forward Oregon, groups like the Center for Intercultural Organizing and the Urban League and CAUSA, some groups who primarily work on issues of sort of racial and gender justice, and then also some labor organizations like SEIU and AFSCME and the Oregon Education Association and some others.
And what is it you're seeking specifically on sick leave with Senate Bill 454?
So Senate Bill 454 is a lot like some of the laws that already exist in Portland and now Eugene. It establishes basically a floor for paid sick time, a labor standard that exists in many other places around the world, but not in the United States at this point. It's a growing movement. There's a number of cities at this point and a couple of states who've instituted statewide paid sick leave laws. This one sets a standard that says everybody working in the state of Oregon should have access to some sick time, earned at basically an hour for every 30 hours they work, up to 40 hours in a year. An employer can do better if they want to, just can't do worse. For those working with an employer with 10 or more employees, that time would need to be paid at whatever someone's regular rate of pay. For those who have fewer than 10 employees, the employer can choose whether that time is paid or unpaid.
All right, so when I think about 1 hour per 30, if you work 15, 20 hours a week, it's going to take you a week to accrue an hour. About 3 weeks to get, just to the point where you'd have enough to actually call in sick for a day of
that
schedule. So it's not a real lavish sort of thing is what I'm saying.
No. It's really intended to be a floor. I mean, we hope that employers, there's a lot of employers out there, particularly for folks working in higher wage and professional jobs that do far, far better than this standard. We're really just looking to establish at this point a floor you can't go beneath because, as it turns out, even with the laws in Portland and Eugene, still when we consider all other folks working in Oregon in the private sector, only, 52% of them have access to sick time. So almost half of folks don't have access to paid sick time through their jobs. And that's especially true for low-wage workers where, 7 out of 10 of low-wage workers don't have access to a single paid sick day now. So we just want to make sure that we start down the path of establishing a standard that makes it so more folks can stay home, as you noted, to take care of themselves when they're sick or take care of a sick child or another family member, seek preventive care, seek health care. I mean, most of us have to go to the doctor during a work day. And so that requires having access to time off. So we're not utilizing more expensive emergency and urgent care systems. So, for us, this is both a sort of basic labor protection, but also a public health standard.
Andrea, I want to back up and get those numbers again, because I was going to ask about that. So you're saying about 48% of workers in the state of Oregon do not have access to sick leave?
That's right. Folks working in the private sector outside of the two cities that have laws, 48% of folks left who don't have access to sick time, which is just over 500,000 people.
There was a lot of talk, I know, when Eugene passed its ordinance that some businesses would move outside city limits to avoid this. Have you seen any evidence of that? Have you been tracking that?
We haven't seen any of that. And there were some folks specifically who noted that they planned to move, and I haven't seen any of them do that. And in addition to that, we've actually continued to do outreach with employers and talk to them throughout the implementation process in Portland as they've implemented the law. The city of Portland contracted with the State Bureau of Labor and Industries to do implementation. They conducted a number of trainings, model policies, FAQ guidance for folks as they implemented the law, tried to make it as simple as possible. And primarily what we've heard from folks on the other side of that is that it's gone better than expected. It's not been as expensive as expected. And, you know, I don't think their worst fears were realized.
We're talking to Andrea Peluso, who's the executive director at Family Forward Oregon and co-chair of the Fair Shot for All Coalition, about the effort to get paid sick leave on the books in the state of Oregon. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions and comments and stories of your own use of sick leave or not at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Is there any a citation either by people who don't want to do this or by people who've studied it impartially, whether there's downward pressure on wages? Because now if an employer is thinking in terms of, well, I need to pay these guys when they're not working, I'll pay them less when they're here.
Yeah, I mean, definitely that's something that I think folks have employers have cited in their testimony in public hearings and otherwise, and have said, you know, they have concerns about their bottom lines, which is really understandable. I think what we know from having this implemented in, you know, one city in Oregon already and another working toward that, and watching it be implemented in about 19 other places in the country, is that, you know, it does not cost as much as often is predicted. And I think once you go through the process of implementation and sit with the policy for a while, I think some of those fears will be alleviated.
You mentioned that that in Portland and Eugene, or Portland anyway, that the Bureau of Labor and Industries, BOLI, Oregon's state agency, came in to help train. What kind of training was necessary?
They developed a series of technical training. They do provide technical assistance training to employers now on all the different laws that exist in Oregon that pertain to labor, and offer trainings to employers on a regular basis. So they customize some training specifically about learning about the Portland sick time law, what are your obligations under the sick time law, and offered a series of those trainings that were very well attended. They created some materials and put them on their website, and some posters for folks to post, and created a hotline for employers to be able to call if they had questions. So they did a lot of work to make sure people had access to the information that they needed when they implemented this, as well as the city of Portland, which, you know, created a lot of additional materials and guidance for employers.
So when you're talking about this as a statewide bill for all of Oregon, is it very similar then? It sounds like the numbers are very similar, the 1 hour per 30. Is that what's in the state bill? I mean, was in the Portland and Eugene ordinances as well?
That's right. Yeah, it was basically the same accrual rate for the same reasons, for the same kinds of family members, with some of the same assurances around protections against abuse, you know, same types of enforcement mechanisms and things like that. So, you know, the employer size threshold is a little higher in the statewide bill than was true in Portland and Eugene. And, you know, there are some other sort of provisions that have worked their way into the state law around how, you know, wanting to make sure that we are making clear that if an employer is offering a paid time off policy, not specifically paid sick time, but a paid time off policy that might be both sick time and vacation, as long as it meets the terms and conditions of the sick time law, they don't have to add additional days. They just need to make sure that if someone has access to PTO, that they can use it for the purposes described in the sick time law.
Have a lot more businesses gone to the PTO policy? It seems like the more I talk to people who work in other places, I'm hearing a lot about the idea of sick time and vacation time getting lumped into one big basket, basically.
Yeah, I think that's a growing trend, and I think in part it's because most employers don't really care why their employees are out. You know, they want to give them a certain amount of time to be out and deal with the things that they need to deal with in their lives or take vacation, but why they're gone doesn't really matter too much. And so I think increasingly they're sort of lumping those two things together. The thing we want to make sure doesn't happen, though, is something that I feel like is fairly common, where there are employees that have maybe access to a limited amount of paid vacation time now, but they can't, you know, they have to request the time so far in advance that it's not something that can be used when you're sick. You know, when you're sick, you need to be able to call in the day before or sometimes even the day of. And that's the thing we want to make sure. If an employer has a PTO policy that generally accommodates for sickness, they're probably going to be fine under this law. But, you know, they don't need to add additional time likely. They have to kind of check and make sure that it's roughly equivalent. But we want to make sure we're avoiding the situation where folks have to request it so far in advance. It's not really useful for the purposes of sick time.
And in cases where PTO is being used, is there any walking backward of the total number of hours, or is it generally what was your sick time plus your vacation time and no less?
You know, It's hard to say. It's pretty much all over the map. You know, as a country, we don't really have any requirements. You know, we're increasingly seeing some states and cities step in where there's a void on sick time, but we don't have a vacation requirement. We don't have a, you know, family leave requirement. There's very little around leave that's required in this country. And so we see things sort of all over the map. Employers aren't required to do anything. So some don't do anything. Some have a combination of different policies. Some lump PTO together. So, you know, it's hard to say exactly whether you end up in sort of a net positive or negative situation with PTO.
How unusual is the United States among Western industrialized nations then in not having national policies on things like time off?
We're the only Western industrialized nation that doesn't have a standard on sick time. I mean, there are other countries that don't have it, but they tend to be much sort of lower GDP countries than ours. And we're, you know, another issue that's important to us because we look a lot at women's economic security is access to paid family leave. And at this point, we're one of just a couple of countries in the world that doesn't have access to some form of maternity leave.
We're talking to Andrea Peluso, Executive Director at Family Forward Oregon and co-chair of the Fair Shot for All Coalition supporting Senate Bill 454, which would provide paid sick leave to workers across the state of Oregon, working its way through the legislature. We'll get the update in just a moment. You can join our discussion on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions, comments, experiences with sick leave or paid time off, 800-838-3760 by phone anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. This does not seem like a bill that has been shooting through the legislature like a bullet, to put it mildly.
Yeah, there's been a lot of discussion. We're wanting to make sure that we get the language right, wanting to take into account all of the different stakeholders involved with this. And, you know, it's been a long process. We've had some version of paid sick time sort of under consideration in the legislature for the last couple of years. You know, we've learned a lot from the experience of having Portland pass a law and do implementation on it about what's working and not working. And I think we've improved on the state law based on those experiences, similar to having worked an ordinance through the city of Eugene. And so over the last couple of years, we've had a work group since the 2013 legislative session that has met with a variety of different stakeholders to work out some of the details. There was another work group that met during the course of the legislative session. We've had a number of different public hearings and committee hearings throughout this legislative session. We really want to make sure that we're getting the details right.
I've noticed that it did pass out of its original Senate committee, got sent to Ways and Means, and then I guess there's a work session in Ways and Means in just a few minutes. Can we assume this is not a hearing for public comment?
Yeah, they're really just going to be talking about, at this point, with the Ways and Means process. I think there's, you know, in a committee that's going to want to understand some of the details of this. This is, you know, for some of them, semi-new, something they've been talking about this session, but haven't had it in front of their committees yet. And then really just understanding the fiscal impact.
All right. We have a call here from Paul and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about paid sick leave.
Hi. I'm an employer, and I'm 100% in favor of this measure. I actually have provided sick leave for the past 25 years. So, but there are a couple of problems that I wanted to comment
okay,
on from the discussion. One is that there's the reason why the two are segregated is just what your guest suggested, that, you know, sick leave has to be available right now when they need it.
As opposed to vacation.
Vacation
sure.
Usually is a planned time.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that, you know, since you're not permitted, the employee can ask for sick leave. If they say they're sick, you have to give them the time. That's fine, but what happens is employees who want time when they can't take it as a vacation take the sick leave, and then when they're sick, they don't have the sick leave time. I don't know whether there's a solution to that, but it's certainly a problem from my experience.
All right, so they're just calling in sick when they're not sick, and then when they need to call in sick, they don't have the time available.
Yeah, because they've used it up.
Yeah. So do they come to work in those cases sick?
Well,
just
you know, there are various outcomes because we try to, you know, often we simply, you know, suspend the policies. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if a person abuses it perpetually, we have to call them in and say, you know, you're abusing the sick leave, you know,
right.
Or something.
All right.
But it's been a rub.
Yeah, I can imagine. Paul, thanks for sharing the story on that. And so has there been an open discussion with employers to try to smooth out some of the bumps that Paul talks about here, Andrea?
Yeah, we've been trying to engage a lot of different employer groups and individual employers throughout the process to really make sure that we're creating something as straightforward as possible, something that's fairly easy to understand and implement, something that's pretty standard, you know, so we've really been, and that's still flexible because we understand that there are a variety of different work environments. The spirit of this law is that we really want to make sure that everyone who's working has the ability to stay home when they're sick and recover when they're sick or seek preventive care, take care of a sick child. And there are a variety of different ways that employers can go about instituting a policy. I mean, I can say, you know, first of all, thanks to employers like Paul, who without being required to have been doing the right thing for the last 25 years for their employees. I mean, employers like Paul are operating in an environment where doing the right thing for your employees is sort of discouraged. I mean, your competitors aren't required to do the same thing. So I can say in a lot of our conversation with business owners and especially small business owners, that's a key part of this, is really leveling the playing field. Like if we're gonna institute a policy, I want to make sure everyone else is doing the same thing.
Are you optimistic that Senate Bill 454 will pass the Senate and move on to the House?
I'm optimistic. It seems like it's something that's a priority for folks to get done this session. I think it's really important that they do it. You know, obviously, I feel like working Oregonians have waited long enough for a fairly basic protection, and I really look forward to them making it law.
I was reading somewhere about a day of action tomorrow. Is there some sort of rally to support these measures?
There is a day of action tomorrow on Fair Shop. It is about a lot of these measures and also talking a little bit more about minimum wage.
All right. And where can people take part in the day of action?
If they check in on fairshotoregon.org, they can sign up to participate. They're in a few cities across the state.
Fairshotoregon.org. Okay. Andrea Peluso is a co-chair of the Fair Shot for All Coalition and executive director of Family Forward Oregon. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much.